Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I believe the big disaster which prevented the occupation from being punished and repeating these crimes is the neglect and indifference by many of the institutions, especially American ones, which continue to defend the occupation.
As the Israeli military kills two more Palestinian journalists in Gaza, a new documentary by Zatteo has uncovered critical details about Israel's killing 3 years ago this week of the acclaimed Palestinian-American Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh. The film identifies for the first time the Israeli soldier who allegedly shot Shireen. We'll speak to four guests, including Shireen's brother and niece, as well as the Zatteo founder Mehdi Hassan and the filmmaker Diane Nissenbaum, a former foreign correspondent at The Wall Street Journal. Then to Memphis, where juries acquitted three former Memphis police officers in the 2023 killing of Tyree Nichols, a 29-year-old black father who died after the officers brutally beat him during a traffic stop driving home from work.
Mr. Bean, Mr. Haley, and Mr. Smith, a jury of your peers have found you not guilty on all charges with these matters. The court will enter the judgment sheets accordingly. This will conclude your matter that's before the court. Good luck.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip have killed at least 100 people over the past 24 hours as bombs, missiles, and drones struck homes, businesses, apartment buildings, tents housing displaced Palestinians. In one of the latest attacks, Israel bombed a crowded restaurant and marketplace in Gaza City, killing at least 32 people and wounding 86 others. Witnesses said the strike littered the ground with body parts and blood. One survivor fled, clutching a baby, with another two terrified children in tow.
What happened?
While we were at the hall of the restaurant, the Israeli army did a strike and everyone died. The youth died. I can't tell you. Youth at the entrance of the hall, blood was like a lake. Oh my, pools of blood.
Among the dead was Palestinian journalist Yahya Sabaya, who was killed just hours after celebrating the birth of his daughter. Palestinian officials say he's the 214th media worker killed in Gaza since October 2023. Another journalist, Nour al-Din Abdo, was killed in a separate Israeli attack. Israel's unrelenting assault on Gaza came as its total blockade entered its third month. The World Central Kitchen charity said Wednesday it had halted Gaza relief efforts after running out of supplies. Gaza's government media office reports more than 3,500 young children face imminent death from starvation. Another 70,000 children are being hospitalized for severe malnutrition. And 1.1 million Palestinian children lack the minimum nutritional requirements for survival. On Wednesday, more than 20 United Nations experts demanded action by states to avert what they call the annihilation of the Palestinian population. They write, quote, continuing to support Israel materially or politically, especially via arms transfers, risks complicity in genocide and other serious international crimes, unquote. In related news, a new report finds UK firms have continued to export military supplies, including munitions, to Israel, despite the government's suspension of arms export licenses to Israel in September. Meanwhile, Reuters reports Trump officials and their Israeli counterparts have discussed the possibility of the U.S. leading a temporary post-war administration of Gaza. In the occupied West Bank, Israel's continuing its illegal forced displacement of Palestinian communities in the Tal Karim and Nur Shams refugee camp. Last week, Israeli officials announced plans to demolish another 100 Palestinian homes. This is Imam Pathi Haikal, a resident of Nur Shams.
What do they think we are to move us to caravans? This will never happen. Even if they build castles for us, we will not accept. Let them demolish half of the house and give me the other half. I would rather live in a room than in a castle outside a refugee camp. This camp is our life.
Israeli forces also demolished homes and other structures in Masafer Yatta this week. The Israeli military has forcibly displaced tens of thousands of West Bank Palestinians this year. Meanwhile, a new documentary by Zateo has exposed new details about the killing of the Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abu Akla, fatally shot 3 years ago this week in the occupied West Bank city of Jenin. For the first time, Zateo has identified Shireen's killer to be an Israeli soldier named Captain Alon Skagio. We'll have more on this story after headlines with an exclusive interview with the founder of Zateo, the filmmaker, and Shireen Abu Akla's brother and niece. India and Pakistan are exchanging heavy artillery fire for a second straight day along the line of control that divides Indian and Pakistan-administered Kashmir. Pakistan's military says Indian airstrikes and shells have killed 31 people and injured 57 others on its side of the Kashmiri border in Pakistan's Punjab province. Among the dead were three people killed when India bombed a mosque in the Kashmiri city of Muzaffarabad. The principal of a nearby school said the attack sparked fear among students.
There has been significant damage here, as you can see. The school was also badly hit. The mosque is in a terrible state, and the mosque caretaker was martyred. The children are in fear. The school's condition is such that the ceiling has collapsed, the windows are shattered, and the doors and furniture have all been badly damaged.
Meanwhile, India says Pakistani artillery fire has killed at least 13 civilians, including five children. Pakistani Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif promised to retaliate against India in a national address Wednesday, saying, quote, "We'll avenge the blood of our innocent martyrs," unquote. In Germany, Friedrich Merz was elected as chancellor Tuesday in a second round of parliamentary voting just hours after he failed to clinch the ballot in the first round, a first in post-war Germany. The new government announced Wednesday Germany will start rejecting undocumented migrants at its border and plans to deploy thousands more police to crack down on arrivals. The move undoes a 2015 order by then-Chancellor Angela Merkel, whose leadership was defined in large part by her welcoming of hundreds of thousands of asylum seekers, many of them who had fled war in Syria. In the United States, a federal judge on Wednesday warned a Trump administration plan to send undocumented immigrants to Libya would violate a court order issued in March. Lawyers for immigrants from Laos, Vietnam, and the Philippines believe a North Africa-bound deportation flight could take off as early as this week. But Libya's two rival governments have denied any such agreement with the U.S., calling the potential move a violation of Libya's sovereignty. Libya has a track record of gross human rights violations in its treatment of refugees and immigrants. The U.N. has reported, quote, widespread practices of arbitrary detention, torture, rape, and slavery. Agents with the Department of Homeland Security swept out across Washington, D.C. Tuesday and Wednesday, serving restaurant owners with notices demanding I-9 employment eligibility verification forms. This follows President Trump's recent executive order to intensify immigration enforcement in D.C. I said it served over 100 local businesses with notices. Among those raided was Chef Jeff's, a restaurant owned by the husband of CBS News anchor Nora O'Donnell, a correspondent for 60 Minutes. Trump has targeted CBS over what he considers unfavorable coverage. In North Carolina, a Republican candidate for the state Supreme Court has conceded the election more than 6 months after he lost to Democratic incumbent Allison Riggs. Jefferson Griffin finally conceded 2 days after a federal judge ordered the state's Board of Elections to certify Riggs' victory, ruling against Griffin's attempt to disqualify tens of thousands of ballots. North Carolina's Supreme Court will retain its current 5-2 Republican majority. A federal judge has struck down Trump's executive order seeking to bar lawyers from the firm Perkins Coie from accessing government buildings and threatening to cancel federal contracts of its clients. Judge Beryl Howell found the president's attack on Perkins Coie over its DEI policies and its work on Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign violates First Amendment protections. The Justice Department could still appeal Howell's ruling. Staff at the Voice of America Network are expressing alarm after presidential adviser Carrie Lake announced the beleaguered media outlet will start carrying content provided by the far-right, Trump-allied One America News Network. OAN has spread conspiracy theories about election fraud in 2020 and COVID, among other things. VOA was forced to stop broadcasting, and over 1,000 staffers are still on forced administrative leave amid pending legal challenges to Trump's order to dismantle the outlet. VOA reporters involved in the case against the Trump administration responded to the latest news, quote, Congress mandated VOA to report reliable and authoritative news, not to outsource its journalism to outlets aligned with the president's agenda. Ukraine has accused Russia of violating a unilaterally declared ceasefire just hours after Russian President Vladimir Putin said his forces would pause attacks for 3 days. Russian warplanes reportedly fired 2 guided bombs on Ukraine's Sumy region. Besides that attack, there were no other reports of Russian incursions. This follows another wave of Ukrainian drone attacks that forced the closure of more than a dozen Russian airports, including 4 in Moscow, where 29 leaders, including China's Xi Jinping, are gathering for a World War II Victory Day parade. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said he has no plans to abide by Russia's truce, but repeated his offer for a formal 30-day ceasefire. This week, Trump's envoy to Ukraine, Keith Kellogg, said President Putin's unlikely to accept a ceasefire plan unless it requires Ukraine to withdraw from the Donetsk, Luhansk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson regions.
If you do a ceasefire in place, the ground that you own, the ground that you fought for, that's your ground right now. What happens 5 or 10 years down the line is different.
And you don't have to basically freeze everything in place.
Right. And we've got that right now. The Ukrainians are willing to do a freeze in place, what I call a ceasefire in place. Mm-hmm. And then we'll, for a period of time, they're willing to set up a demilitarized zone. What they basically said is, we'll back up 15 kilometers, you back up 15 kilometers to the Russians. So you don't get this 30-kilometer, 18-mile zone that you can actually observe.
In Tennessee, jurors acquitted 3 former Memphis police officers of the 2023 murder of Tyree Nichols, a 29-year-old black father who died after the officers brutally beat him during a traffic stop. The lawyers representing the Nichols family called the verdicts, quote, a devastating miscarriage of justice, unquote. To Darius Bean, Demetrius Haley, and Justin Smith, along with 2 other officers, are awaiting sentencing on separate federal charges. Those 2 other officers, Desmond Mills Jr. and Emmett Martin, are pleading guilty to the state charges and will not stand trial. We'll have more in this case later in the broadcast. Here in New York, police arrested at least 79 protesters at Columbia University Wednesday after they occupied the campus's main library to demand their school divest from Israel. The Columbia Palestine Solidarity Coalition says multiple students were hospitalized by public safety officers. At least one protester was carried away on a stretcher. Columbia's acting president, Claire Shipman, said in a statement, quote, Columbia strongly condemns violence on our campus, anti-Semitism, and all forms of hate and discrimination, some of which we witnessed today, unquote. The protest came a day after a group of Jewish peace activists from Columbia traveled to Washington, D.C. to lobby Congress members and to condemn what they call the weaponization of accusations of anti-Semitism to silence critics of Israel's occupation of Palestine and its assault on Gaza. This is Columbia graduate student Carly Schaefer.
Columbia University has decided who is Jewish, who is not Jewish, and then from there, who is worthy of protection, who is not worthy of protection. And while we as Jewish students are fully, you know, transparent and honest as the repression and harm we have faced as Jewish students is not anything near what our Palestinian peers have faced, we are here directly to talk about this issue of weaponizing anti-Semitism to harm anybody and anyone, because it's all interconnected. I mean, look at the abduction of Mahmoud Khalil. Look at the abduction of Mohsen. When you're using anti-Semitism as a weapon,
On Wednesday, Jewish students blasted a congressional hearing in which House Republicans continued to conflate anti-Israel, anti-Zionist protests with anti-Semitism. Jewish Voice for Peace Action called the House session a kangaroo hearing. Meanwhile, a federal appeals court on Wednesday ordered the Trump administration to transfer the abducted Tufts scholar Rumeysa Ozturk from an ICE detention jail in Louisiana to Vermont, as a judge continues to consider her release on bail. Rumeysa Ozturk, a Turkish citizen, was arrested for co-writing a student op-ed on Tufts' response to Gaza solidarity protests. She's a Fulbright scholar and graduate student at Tufts. Students at four California State Universities, Long Beach, San Jose State, Sacramento State, and San Francisco State have launched a joint hunger strike to protest Israel's starvation campaign against Palestinians in Gaza. The students are demanding, quote, full divestment from companies complicit in genocide, an end to CSU ties with Israeli institutions, and protection of free speech on campus, unquote. Meanwhile, in the Netherlands, students have set up an encampment at Utrecht University to demand the school divest from Israeli institutions. They've named their encampment after slain Palestinian journalist Hossam Shabbat. And at the Vatican, black smoke rose from a chimney at the Sistine Chapel earlier today as cardinals convened for a second day of secretive conclave deliberations to select a new pope. Tens of thousands of the faithful have been gathering in St. Peter's Square as they await the sight of white smoke, the signal that a new leader of the Roman Catholic Church has been elected. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. When we come back, who killed Shireen? A new documentary uncovers the hidden identity of the Israeli soldier who fatally shot the acclaimed Palestinian-American Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh. She was killed May 11th, 2022, 3 years ago this week. Stay with us. Musician Kyra Arbe, Nightingale of the North. She was performing in our Democracy Now! Studio in 2012. She died in 2018. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Mimi Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. We begin today's show looking at Israel's ongoing targeting of Palestinian journalists. A recent report by the Cost of War Project at Brown University described the war in Gaza as the, quote, worst ever conflict for reporters in history. By one count, Israel has killed 214 Palestinian journalists in Gaza over the past 18 months, including two journalists killed on Wednesday, Yahya Sabi and Nur al-Din Abdo. Yahya Sabi died just hours after his wife gave birth to their first child. Meanwhile, new details have emerged about the killing of Shireen Abu Akleh, the renowned Palestinian-American Al Jazeera journalist who was fatally shot by an Israeli soldier 3 years ago on May 11, 2022. She was killed while covering an Israeli army assault on the Jenin refugee camp in the West Bank. Shireen and another reporter were against a stone wall wearing blue helmets and blue flak jackets clearly emblazoned with the word press. Shireen was shot in the head. Shireen was known throughout the Arab world for her decades of tireless reporting on Palestine.
Israel initially claimed she'd been shot by Palestinian militants, but later acknowledged she was most likely shot by an Israeli soldier. But Israel has never identified the soldier who fired the fatal shot or allowed the soldier to be questioned by U.S. investigators. But a new documentary just released by Zateo has identified and named the Israeli soldier for the first time. This is the trailer to the documentary, Who Killed Shireen?
That soldier looked down his scope and could see the blue vest and that it said press.
That's my belief, yes.
U.S. personnel have never had access to those who are believed to have committed those shootings.
Been held to account. Justice has not been served.
She is the first American Palestinian journalist who has been killed by Israeli forces.
I want to know who killed Shireen.
How are we going to find the shooter?
He's got a phone call set up with this Israeli soldier who was there that day.
We just have to go over to Israel.
Did you ever talk to the guy who fired the shots?
I'm president. The U.S. should have absolutely come forward and actually addressed the fact that an American citizen was killed intentionally by IDF.
The drones are still ongoing. The explosion's going off.
I got a name.
But here's the twist.
The trailer for the new Zateo documentary, Who Killed Shireen? The film identifies the Israeli soldier who allegedly killed Shireen Abu Akleh as Alon Skagio, who would later be killed during an Israeli military operation last June in Jenin, the same city where Shireen was fatally shot.
We're joined right now by four guests, including two members of Shireen Abu Akleh's family, her brother Anton, or Tony, and her niece, Lena. They're both in North Bergen, New Jersey. We're also joined by Mehdi Hassan, the founder and editor-in-chief of Zateo, and by Diane Nissenbaum, the executive producer of Who Killed Shireen, the correspondent on the documentary, a longtime Wall Street Journal foreign correspondent based in Jerusalem and other cities, a former foreign correspondent. He was twice nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. We welcome you all to Democracy Now! Diane, we're going to begin with you. This is the third anniversary, May 11th exactly, of the death of Shireen Abu Akleh. Talk about your revelation, what you exposed in this documentary.
Well, there are two things that were very important for the documentary. The first thing was we wanted to find the soldier who killed Shireen. It had been one of the most closely guarded secrets in Israel. U.S. officials said that if they wanted to determine if there was a crime here, if there was a human rights violation, they needed to talk to this soldier to find out what he was thinking when he shot her. And we set out to find him, and we did. We did what the U.S. government never did. And it turned out he had been killed, so we were never able to answer that question, what he was thinking. But the other revelation that I think is as significant in this documentary is that the initial U.S. assessment of her shooting was that that soldier intentionally shot her and that he could tell that she was wearing a blue flak jacket with press across it. That assessment was essentially overruled by the Biden administration, which came out and said exactly the opposite. That's a fairly startling revelation that the Biden administration and the Israeli government essentially were doing everything they could to cover up what happened that day to Shireen Abu Akleh.
Well, let's go to a clip from the documentary Who Killed Shireen, in which Diane Nissenbaum, our guest, speaks with former State Department official Andrew Miller. He was Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Israeli-Palestinian Affairs in 2022 when Shireen was killed.
It's
nearly 100% certain that an Israeli soldier, likely a sniper, fired the shot that killed, or the shots that killed Shireen Abu Akleh. Based on all the information we have, it is not credible to suggest that there were targets either in front of or behind Shireen Abu Akleh. The fact that the official Israeli position remains that this was a case of crossfire. The entire episode was a mistake, as opposed to potentially a mistaken identification or the deliberate targeting of this individual, points to, I think, a broader policy of seeking to manage the narrative.
And did these Israelis ever make the soldier available to the U.S. to talk about it?
No. And the Israelis were not willing to present the person for even informal questioning.
That was State Department official, former State Department official Andrew Miller, speaking in the Zatteo documentary, Who Killed Shireen? He was Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Israeli-Palestinian Affairs in 2022 when Shireen was killed. I want to go to Shireen's family, whom we have as guests, Anton Abu Akleh and Lina, who are joining us from New Jersey. You both watched the film for the first time last night when it premiered here in New York City. Lina, if you could begin by responding to the revelations in the film.
Hi, Amy. Hi, thank you for having us. Honestly, we always welcome and we appreciate journalists who try to uncover the killing of Shireen, but also who shed light on her legacy. And the documentary that was released by Zatteo and by Dion, it really revealed findings that we didn't know before, but we've always known that it was an Israeli soldier who killed Shireen. And we know how the U.S. administration failed our family, failed a U.S. citizen, and failed the journalist, really. And that should be a scandal in and of itself. But most importantly, for us as a family, it's not just about one soldier. It's about the entire chain of command. It's not just the person who pulled the trigger, but who ordered the killing, and the military commanders, the elected officials. So really, it's the entire chain of commands that needs to be held to account for the killing of a journalist who was in clear press vest, press gear, marked as a journalist.
And Anton, if you could respond, Shireen, of course, was your younger sister. What was your response watching the documentary last night?
It's very painful to look at all these scenes again, but I really extend my appreciation to Zatteo and all those who supported and worked on this documentary, which was very revealing. Many things we didn't know. The cover-up by the Biden administration, this thing was new to us. He promised, first statements came out from the White House and from the State Department, stressed on the importance of holding those responsible accountable. And apparently, in one of the interviews held in this documentary, President Biden never raised this issue with Bennett, at that time the prime minister. So that's shocking to us to know. It was a total cover-up, contradictory to what they promised us. And that's, like Lina just said, it's a betrayal not only to the family, not only to Shireen, but the whole American nation.
Mehdi Hassan, you've backed this documentary. It's the first big documentary Zatteo's putting out. It's also the first anniversary of the founding of Zatteo. Can you talk about the proof that you feel is here in the documentary that Alon Skaggio, this, and explain who he is and the unit he was a part of. Diane, it's quite something when you go to his grave, but how you can absolutely be sure this is the man.
So, Amy, Nermeen, thanks for having us here.
I've been on the show many times, and I just want to say, great to be here on set with both of you. Thank you for what you do. This is actually our second documentary, but it is our biggest so far, because the revelations in this film that Dion and the team put out are huge in many ways. Identifying the soldiers you mentioned, Alon Scargio, identifying the Biden cover-up, which we just heard Tony Abuakleh point out. People didn't realize just how big that cover-up was. Remember, Joe Biden was the man who said, if you harm an American, we will respond. And what is very clear in the case of Shireen Abu Akleh, an American citizen who spent a lot of her life in New Jersey, they did not respond. In terms of the soldier itself, when Dion came to me and said, we want to make this film, it'll be almost like a true crime documentary. We're going to go out and find out who did it, because everyone followed the story. You guys covered it in 2022. It was a huge story in the world. But 3 years later, to not even know the name of the shooter,